Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 135 to close at 21,144. Yeah, it's a record high close. Wow. Dow Jones Industrial Average hits a record high close, and whenever the Dow Jones Industrial Average hits a record high close, we have a celebration here at the Money Radio Megaplex in beautiful uptown Scottsdale. The Money Radio staff gathers in the control room. We're joined by our sister station, 1580, the Fanatic. We got a lot of sports people roaming around the studios these days. And gathering in the control room, we have Renee, Doreen. Doreen is passing out candles. Randy is taking part today. We welcome in some of the sports folks. There's the Dean, the Rock, the Manooch. Okay. James, good you can make it. Okay. Everybody light the candles. The Money Radio Symphonic Orchestra plays the theme there behind us in the background. They are lighting the candles. There's a big glass partition between me and the talk studio and the rest of the people in the control room. This is for my safety. Randy, you're going to lead the procession today. Okay, very good. There's just this nice candlelight glow coming from the control room. Normally it's a dark and ominous place. Everybody ready? All right, candles lit, and there they go. Marching in what is not quite a lockstep down the hallway to the Money Radio Bistro where, hey, what are you having today? Cookies? What kind of... No cookies? Seriously, what do you have? Ice cream. Okay. Breakfast of champions. Dow Industrial, there they go. Dow Industrial's up 135, closing at 21,144. S&P 500 up 18, also a record, 2,430. We don't celebrate that, but it's a record. NASDAQ up 48 at a record high, 6,246. Russell 2000 up 25 at 1,396. That is not a record. Transports did not confirm with a record either. Yield on the 10-year Treasury up 2 basis points at 2.22%. Oil down 30 cents at $48.02 per barrel. Gold down $3.20 at $12.66.40. Record high for the Dow Industrial Average, taking out the last record high, which was set on March 1st. Records for the S&P and NASDAQ. In many ways, the Dow's just playing catch-up with the other indexes that were already in record territory. And while the NASDAQ is up 16% this year, the S&P 500 has rallied 8.5%. The Dow up a more modest, but still pretty nifty, 7%. Some good economic news today. Institute for Supply Management's manufacturing index inched slightly higher, hitting 54.9. Anything over 50 indicates growth in the manufacturing sector. And this implies the overall manufacturing economy grew for the 96th consecutive month. Commerce Department announced that spending in the construction sector fell 1.4% for the month. And that was the biggest drop since a 2.9% fall a year ago. Construction spending was forecast to have grown 0.5 percentage point in April after falling 0.2 percentage point in March. The drop reflects significant weakness in home building, non-residential construction, and government projects. The number of Americans filing for unemployment benefits increased more than expected last week, but the rise probably does not signal a material shift in labor market conditions, as claims for several states, including California, were estimated. Initial claims for state unemployment benefits jumped 13,000 to a seasonally adjusted 248,000 for the week ended May 27th. Still a very low number there. The ADP private sector employment report showed 253,000 jobs were added in May. Now, that report could signal a strong government payrolls report on Friday that includes hiring in both public and private sectors. Forecasts are for about 185,000 non-farm payrolls created in May. Mark Zandi, chief economist at Moody's Analytics, said the current pace of job growth is nearly three times the rate necessary to absorb growth in the labor force. Increasingly, businesses' number one challenge will be a shortage of labor. Federal Reserve's latest Beige Book report, a collection of economic anecdotes from businesses across the country, indicated that employers everywhere are under pressure to both hire workers and pay them even more. Economists in the Cleveland Fed's district report stated, staffing firms noted an increase in the number of job openings and placements during the past 2 months, a situation which they attributed to an improving business climate. Those comments were echoed pretty much across the country. Forecasts from Fed officials suggest that a median of two more hikes are planned before the end of the year for a total of three. However, today, San Francisco Federal Reserve Bank President John Williams said that while he sees three interest rate hikes this year as his baseline scenario, four rate hikes might also be appropriate if the economy got an unexpected boost. Perhaps even more important than rate hikes, though, is what the Fed will say about trimming its $4.5 trillion balance sheet, which expanded sharply in response to the Great Recession. The bank massively expanded that balance sheet by buying mortgage and treasury bonds as a way of keeping interest rates low. Jerome Powell, a Fed board governor, said on CNBC that the impact of the Fed's pullback from bond buying would be minimal. Well, the Fed seems to be trying to have its cake and eat it too, arguing that its bond purchases, also known as quantitative easing or QE, were highly powerful when implemented, but it'll make little difference when withdrawn. Today, President Trump announced the U.S. will indeed withdraw from the Paris Climate Agreement and will seek to renegotiate the pact in a way that treats American workers better. Trump is kicking off a withdrawal process that will take until November 2020 to unfold. While the decision wasn't exactly unexpected, it was a campaign promise after all. In today's announcement, Trump said it will bring back clean coal jobs. It won't. First off, there is no such thing as clean coal. Also, the vast majority of America's coal gets shipped to a fast-shrinking fleet of power plants that burn the fuel, and there is no easy path to boosting demand from the sector. Countries' use of natural gas and renewable energy to produce electricity is meanwhile gathering speed and creating new generations of energy jobs. Low natural gas prices at the end of the day have decimated most of the U.S. coal production. Coal plants have closed down and they're not going to reopen. In a Rose Garden ceremony at the White House today, Trump said the bottom line is the Paris Accord is very unfair, citing the deal's draconian financial and economic burdens and a litany of economic projections backing up his case. But the estimates at the heart of the debate varied so widely, some analysts view them as unreliable. Supporting the pro-pullout side was one estimate saying $3 trillion in gross domestic product could be lost and 6.5 million jobs lost over the next quarter century, numbers Trump cited without pointing out the timeline. Another view puts the GDP hit at more than $8 trillion through the year 2100, but that's the damage estimate if the U.S. exits the deal. More worrisome than the long-term guesses could be the expected tariffs on U.S. carbon emitters slapped on by other countries. 25 U.S. companies signed on to a letter running today as a full-page advertisement in the New York Times and Wall Street Journal, arguing in favor of the climate pact and warning of potential retaliatory measures by other nations. Trump said he would like to renegotiate the Paris Accord, but today France, Germany, and Italy said they would not enter into discussions to change the deal. While there are still a large number of workers in the traditional fossil fuel industries, according to the Department of Energy, the number of Americans employed in energy-efficient and renewable energy jobs is also huge. For instance, 1.1 million American workers in electric power generation through traditional fossil fuels, but renewables follow closely with 880,000 employees. Additionally, from a long-term economic perspective, shifting toward renewable energy would likely be more beneficial for job growth. The Department of Energy said the renewable sector is booming, with solar employment growing by 25% and wind generation employment growing by 32% in 2016. Add on the fact that 2.2 million people are employed in the design, installation, and manufacture of energy-efficient products and services, and it's clear that combating climate change is a big employment driver for the U.S. Illinois paid the price for its ongoing budget impasse, with both S&P Global Ratings and Moody's Investor Service dropping the state's general obligation credit ratings to one step above junk. The ratings downgrades came a day after Illinois' spring legislative session ended without a budget deal. S&P cut its rating on $26 billion worth of bonds one notch to BBB-. It's the lowest it has rated any state, and warned that Illinois could sink to a junk level unless it passes a budget that addresses a gaping structural deficit. Moody's downgraded Illinois to Baa3 from Baa2, citing the prolonged political impasse that has impeded progress in dealing with the nearly $130 billion unfunded pension liability and fueled growth in unpaid bills now approaching $15 billion, equal to about 40% of the state's operating budget. The boards of Lind Group and Praxair voted to merge, creating a $73 billion global industrial gases leader. Meanwhile, Deere & Company said it would buy privately held German company Wirtgen Group for about $4.8 billion to expand its road construction operations. Dow Industrials up 135 at 21,144, a record. S&P 500 up 18 at 2430, a record. NASDAQ up 48 at 6246, also a record. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. And the daily blog is eatthebankers.com.